Hello, friend. I'm Ron Jones with Something Good Radio. Today's message is coming your way next, but before I get started, I just want to thank you for all you're doing to help me share the good news of Jesus Christ through this gospel media ministry. Your prayers and financial support make sure these messages can be heard all year round, all over the world. As you may know, December is always a critical time for the ministry. But it's also a time when a lot of people are looking for answers that only Jesus can give them. And when they go looking, Something Good Radio is one of the places they come. For that reason, and because we are 100% listener-supported, I'm asking you to prayerfully consider sending a generous year-end gift to Something Good by December 31st. Brian will share the details with you at the end of today's message, or you can make your gift right now at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Or call our offices at 757-276-1099. From all of us here at Something Good Radio, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and may God bless you during the coming year.
Down through the ages, God has been known by many names. Dr. Ron Jones takes us through a few of them next on today's edition of Something Good. Hello, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for stopping by. Well, the names of God are not mere titles or labels. They're a reflection of who He is, His character, and nature. Coming up next, Ron takes us to the book of Isaiah to identify seven names associated with the birth of Christ. Stay with us now as he kicks off his teaching series, Knowing God by His Christmas Names, or pay us a visit at somethinggoodradio.org, where you can listen to any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Now from Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as lead pastor, here's Ron and today's Something Good Radio message, Wonderful Counselor.
Well, naming your child is one of the first acts of parenting, right? The name you give to your child has far-reaching implications because he or she will carry that name with him or her for the rest of their lives. Every time we introduce ourselves and say, "Hi, my name is," we are echoing the first influence that our parents had on us. And we're also sharing a bit of an intimacy. When we share our names with somebody, we're revealing something about ourselves. Most parents agonize over their child's name for at least 9 months. I know my parents did, and after 9 months, they named me Ron. Nobody calls me Ronald. Okay, let's be clear about that. Although once in a while, when I was a kid, my dad would let fly a, "Hey, Ronald McDonald, how you doing today?" I know he meant it with affection, but he always had a cheeky grin on his face when he did that. Only my wife and my mother get to call me Ronnie. Let's be clear about that, too. I have an older and younger brother named Rich and Randy. Randy's my older brother. Rich is my younger brother. We were known as the three R's growing up in Indiana, and that was confusing enough until we introduced a fourth R to the family, a stray cat named Ringo. Yeah, after Ringo Starr, the Beatle. I mean, the strange things we do naming our children and our animals, right? Later in life, my parents told me I was almost Tom Jones, not Ron Jones. They wanted to name us three boys Terry, Tom, and Tim. But back in the 1960s, Tom Jones was a full-throated, hairy-chested Las Vegas lounge singer. And so to name their child Tom Jones was just, you know, they rescued me from a lifetime of sort of snarky comments like, "Hey, Tom, what's new, pussycat?" You know, that went right over my kids' heads. You know, that's the kind of illustration they say, "Dad, you need to update them a little bit." I say, "No, you need to learn history. It's a funny thing." My name, Ron Jones, is about as plain vanilla as it gets. I call it my witness protection name. I can disappear. I can disappear because there are so many Ron Joneses out there. Good luck in trying to find me. But actually, some of you may remember that in the history of this church, there was another pastor named Ron Jones. Fortunately, we didn't serve at this church at the same time. But when the search committee years ago introduced me as the new lead pastor, people thought the old Ron Jones was coming back. I mean, how confusing, you know, does it get? You would think a simple name like that wouldn't be so confusing. Well, in Bible times, a child's name carried much significance. The name was chosen for various reasons in the Bible, including to secure family ties, to communicate a divine message, maybe to establish authority. The name might have expressed the child's character or the desire for that child's character. It might have indicated a special connection with God. Sometimes God changed a person's name in the Bible to indicate a new beginning. Let me give you a couple of examples. Abram became Abraham. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse 6, the Lord tells us why. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Here's another example. Jacob became Israel, which means my struggle. And you may remember in Genesis chapter 32 that Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long. And when the angel did not prevail, he touched Jacob's hip socket and dislocated his socket. And for the rest of Jacob's life, he had a hitch in his get-along. But the angel of the Lord said to him, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have wrestled with God and with men and have prevailed." We might ask the question, what's in a name? Whether it's my name or your name or a biblical name, well, more than we know if it's God's name. In the Bible, God reveals himself to us through many, many divine names. And each one offers a unique understanding of our Creator, who he is in his person and in his nature. And every time he reveals one of his divine names, he's relating to us in an intimate way. He's opening up an aspect of who he is in a very intimate way. Knowing God by his Christmas names, just that by itself is a significant study and makes the celebration of our Savior's birth more meaningful. We've all been aware of some of these names, but we're going to be doing a deep dive on each of these names during the Christmas season. And that study begins today, and it actually begins in a messianic prophecy that was written 800 years before Bethlehem through a prophet named Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, follow along as I read. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. And here come four of the seven names. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The prophecy goes on to say, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forward and forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Now, Isaiah, let's just go back to his time. He served as a prophet and a statesman to the southern kingdom for 60 years. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger and more magnificent in the prophetic world than Isaiah. He's the granddaddy of the prophets, even the granddaddy among the major prophets, serving from 740 to 680 BC. And it was during the time when the northern kingdom fell to Assyria, and when Judah, in time, went into Babylonian captivity. In Isaiah's time, God's people had devolved into gross immorality. And this invoked a series of scathing denunciations, judgments, woes, as they are described in the first several chapters of Isaiah. Judgments that came upon the nations, and specifically to Judah, which was one of the holding tanks for David's descendants, and it was the tribe of Judah through which Messiah came. And amid the many woes and the judgments that were aimed at Judah, Isaiah drops in this hope-filled prophecy about salvation coming through Messiah, a Messiah who would perpetuate David's glorious throne and establish his righteous rule on this earth. Now, the prophecy begins with what may sound like sort of, you know, saying the same thing but in a different way, sort of a poetic flair to it. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. All the poets say, oh, that's just a great turn of phrase. But there's more to it than that. For to us a child is born and to us a son is given captures both the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. For to us a child is born. Yes, in a very natural way, a child was born in Bethlehem. Speaks of the humanity of Jesus Christ. But to us a son was given. And the difference between a child that was born, like you and I were born, and a son that was given, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It introduces us, perhaps for the first time, to this mysterious thing in Christian theology called the incarnation. The idea that the Word became flesh. We'll get to the Christmas name of God in John chapter 1, the Logos, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. But here in Isaiah's prophecy, for to us a child is born who was fully human in every sense that you and I are. He had a physical body, but to us a son was given, completely divine, 100% man, 100% God. We call it the incarnation. It's mysterious. It's the idea that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, put on human flesh without losing an ounce of his divinity. And this is Christmas. Isaiah's prophecy also stretches, listen to this, all the way to the end of the age, encompassing the first and the second advents of Jesus. Until the end of the age, he rules in our hearts by faith. But the government of Christ didn't come 2,000 years ago. And that's where some of even the Jewish leaders missed their Messiah. They thought he was coming in the first advent to establish his government on this earth and to rule and reign in justice and righteousness and peace. But there hasn't been peace on this earth for 2,000 years. But there's peace in our hearts by faith in Christ. But he's coming again. And when he comes again, at the end of the age, and after the failed attempt at world domination by a figure in Bible prophecy known as the Antichrist, then Christ will come again. He will defeat his enemies at the Battle of Armageddon, and he will establish the government of Christ on this earth. We call it the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And he will sit on David's throne in Jerusalem. This is what Isaiah has in view here. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Big government will come to the world. But at that time, it's good. Because Christ will be sitting on the throne and he will rule and reign in peace and justice and righteousness. The Antichrist will try, he'll introduce his world domination politically and religiously and economically. But he will enslave people and destroy lives. Christ comes at the end of the age, his second time, and he establishes peace and justice and righteousness for 1,000 years on this earth, John tells us in Revelation chapter 20.
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones. So stay with us. Listen to Ron's messages on demand at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. When you stop by, be sure to check out Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps, a free online discipleship coaching experience created by Dr. Ron Jones. Use the Courses tab at the top of the homepage at somethinggoodradio.org. That's Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps. Up next, Ron takes us to the first of God's Christmas names, as found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Let's join him now for the rest of today's Something Good radio message. Wonderful Counselor.
Finally, Isaiah's prophecy identifies four names, I've already alluded to them, by which the Christ shall be called. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. By the way, there's a Trinitarian reference in all of this. You know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Wonderful Counselor, which we're going to dive into in just a moment, ought to remind us of the Holy Spirit, who is called the Helper and the Advocate and the Counselor. He comes, this child that was born, this son that was given, is a wonderful counselor, an allusion perhaps to the Holy Spirit. But he's also called Everlasting Father. Now that's a little bit of a head scratcher. This child that was born, this son that was given, also the Everlasting Father. No, in the mystery of the Trinity, one God who expresses himself in three distinct persons and personalities, in the at least four of the Christmas names of God, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And each of these names conveys special significance relating to Messiah's wisdom and power and relationship and leadership. His wisdom on display as a wonderful counselor. His power on display as a mighty God. His relationship to us as an everlasting Father. His leadership of us as the Prince of Peace. And these are the four names that we will be studying over the next several weeks. We will add in Emmanuel, God with us. Logos, the Word who became flesh, and of course, the name that is above all names, Jesus. What a precious name and a beautiful name that it is. Let's talk about the wonderful Counselor. And his name, Isaiah said, shall be called Tom Jones. No, shall be called Wonderful Counselor. You know, the words wonder and wonderful appear in our culture in all kinds of ways. We love the word wonder or wonderful. For example, some of our favorite movies to watch this time of the year, what's the all-time favorite? It's A Wonderful Life. Yeah. How many of you have watched that one? When I was growing up in Indiana, we also watched a popular television program on Sunday nights called The Wonderful World of Disney. They ought to rename it The Woke World of Disney today, you know? It's not so wonderful, perhaps. Later, a popular television sitcom called The Wonder Years ran on ABC from 1988 to 1993. Recently, Catherine and I visited a place in the world that was put on the list back in 2007 of the seven wonders of the ancient world. We went to Petra, which is in Jordan. I continued my list. I thought about Wonder Bread. I grew up eating Wonder Bread. There's Wonder Woman. There's Boy Wonder. Boy Wonder was the nickname that Batman gave to Robin. And I thought I had all of this covered, and somebody in the 8 o'clock service says, what about Stevie Wonder? Oh, yeah, I forgot Stevie Wonder, right? I don't know if that's his real name or not, but he loved the name Wonder, right? There's more for us to wonder about. Most of us grew up learning a nursery rhyme that went like this. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Finish it with me. How I wonder what you are. Yeah. The music world likes the word wonder. John Jacob Niles wrote lyrics to a Christian hymn with a Christmas theme to it. I wonder as I wander. Maybe not the most popular Christmas hymn that we sing, but it's part of those. Some music transports us into another place in time and fills our hearts with childlike wonder and awe and astonishment. Other songs help us to explore the wonderful world of love and romance. I made a list of some of them, some, you know, very contemporary, some that have been around for a long time. I'll start in the world that my kids recognize. I Wonder by Kanye West. Or do we call him Ye today? All right, I guess we call him Ye. Taylor Swift, Wonderland. Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton. Or how about this one by Louis Armstrong? What a Wonderful World. You know, remember that one? Earth, Wind, and Fire. My friend Brian Davis, who's the other voice on Something Good Radio, he's been around music and radio. I said, Brian, do you ever remember Boogie Wonderland by Earth, Wind, and Fire? Maroon 5, Makes Me Wonder, they sang. How about Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time, or Tony Bennett's Winter Wonderland, or the one made famous by Andy Williams, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. And it is. but maybe not for all the reasons that our culture suggests. Truly, the celebration of the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, makes Christmas the most wonderful time of the year. And I think in some way, Isaiah in his prophecy anticipated all of this by using the word wonderful to describe a child who would be born 800 years later. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Now, what does Isaiah mean by wonderful? Well, a whole lot more than any of the cultural references that I mentioned. The Holy Spirit inspired the prophet to use a word much weightier than the way we use wonderful today, which often just implies something that is delightful or pleasurable or worthy of admiration. The Hebrew word translated wonderful is pala. And I was thrilled in my study this week to learn this. It refers to a phenomenon lying outside the realm of human explanation, that which is separated from the normal course of events. I'll let that sink in for a moment. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And we'll get to the counselor part in a moment. This child is a phenomenon outside the realm of human explanation, separated from the normal course of events. There wasn't anything normal or natural about this birth 2,000 years ago. Everything about it said it was supernatural.
His arrival was beyond our human understanding. So too, at times, in his counsel. That's what faith is. Obeying God even when we don't understand him. Now let me bring in Dr. Ron Jones, who joins me to talk about his latest book, one that just might revolutionize your prayer life. Ron, so excited about your latest book, The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. What inspired you to write this book?
Thanks for the question, Brian. You know, I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can. And I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Jesus Way to Pray.
Ron, you say in the introduction to the book, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus. What do you mean by that?
Well, Brian, to say, Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus' disciples did, is kind of like asking Michael Jordan or LeBron James to teach us how to play the game of basketball, or Leonardo da Vinci to teach us how to paint a masterpiece like The Last Supper or the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo to teach us how to sculpt a marble stone into David or the Pietà. Truly, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus.
Thanks so much for sharing this important resource with us, Pastor. Again, that book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456.
Friends, the further our world drifts away from the wonderful counselor, the more stupid we become. But the opposite is true as well. The closer we get to the wonderful counselor, the wiser we become. And I say Christmas is a time to embrace the wonderful wisdom of God, not the woke world of Disney or anybody else out there who's advocating just foolishness and stupidity. And it's not just foolishness or stupidity, it's demonic.
That's tomorrow in part two of Dr. Ron Jones' message, Wonderful Counselor. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying so long and thanks for listening.